Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, happy Monday. You are listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with me, Wild Dove, Grey Eye Smith, Weaver of Dreams, and Laurent Montigny. So tonight's show is based on front page picks. I'm not too sure from which month here. So front page picks and also some open poetry as well. So I'm going to go to the board here and bring Miss Weaver of Dreams on. Hello, Weaver. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you, Gray. Hello.
Hi. Hello from Scotland.
Good accent.
And so we've got another caller here. Area code 703. Who's calling, please?
Hey, folks. Zach's calling. What's up?
Hey.
How y'all doing?
Hi, Jack.
Good.
Hey.
Good to hear your voice. How are you doing tonight?
Likewise. Oh, fine, thanks. Ready to get in some poetry,
yeah.
Sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
All right, what are we to first?
Well, firstly, we have... Wow, the year's gone fast. Christmas Tradition Question by Sherry Gallagher. And Gray, would you like to give that a read for us, please?
Sure, 1 second here. Okay. Christmas Tradition Question by Sherry Gallagher. Who ever heard of chestnuts roasting outside of a song, like marshmallows on a stick? Popcorn in a pan? Can you hear the melodious Kermit croak crooning along? Are chestnuts the only nuts worth roasting when drinking homemade eggnog? Whoever thought drinking frothy egg was a good idea? Somebody did. A good job with the marketing. Probably wrote a viral song along a whimsical, witty Kermit's do it with Miss Piggy. Just not as viral as the roasting chestnut song. LOL. what did you think, Lira?
Oh, very cool, yeah. It's true. I haven't heard it, but... Oh, yeah, in England, they used to have them in Victorian days. They had the guys with their little tin trays and they roasted chestnuts and people ate them. I have never, ever eaten one. I don't think I fancy it at all, but I'm sure it's popular somewhere. But anyway, yes, I do know the song, and I agree with you. And drinking frothy eggs. Brilliant. That's such a wonderful line. Whoever thought drinking frothy eggs was a good idea? Oh, man. Yeah, somebody who sold eggs, presumably. but yes, it was very good, and I really enjoyed it. I had a little bit of levity. And so thank you very much for sharing that with us, Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Weaver. Excellent comment. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
I really like how the song itself, the chestnuts on an open fire, is like inseparable from that sound itself. Like you can't like think of that noise that much because it's so synonymous with the song. So I thought that was a cool way to kind of like open that up. And it reminds me of like if a tree falls, does it make a sound? Asked kind of in various ways over and over again, like differently, but not like just the right amount of repetition for the refrains. I thought that was really cool. And the nice of Christmas editions, like the Muppet singing along, I thought that was a great addition. It kind of like a great homage to Jim Henson in a way too. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, excellent comment. I have to watch my mute button tonight. I was talking away on mute there for a second. But no, that was a wonderful write. You know, it was a pleasure to read it. It had great flow. The rhythm was nice. And I like Christmas Tradition Question is the name of the title. Has who ever heard of roasting chestnuts outside of a song? Like marshmallows on a stick, popcorn in a pan. Can you hear the melodious Kermit croon along? Are chestnuts the only nuts worth roasting? While drinking homemade eggnog. Whoever thought drinking probably eggnog was a good idea. Somebody did. Yeah, that was great. Excellent Christmas time poem, even though it's almost summer, but that's okay. Great job, Lori. Thank you for sharing. Congratulations on your front page pick. All right, where are we to next?
And next we have What a Wonderful World We Live In by I Love Poems. I think I'll read this one, shall I? Yes. Here we have it. I Love Poems. What a Wonderful World We Live In. What a wonderful world we live in. Blue sky, shooting stars, smiling sun, happy moon, singing birds, moving mountains, blue seas, dancing waves, beautiful nature, colorful butterflies, scented flowers, amazing animals. What a wonderful world we live in, with all the beautiful human beings. End poem.
Fantastic read, Weaver. and this is Gosawa. I mean, this is, she's such a sweet woman. This is everything about her put into a poem, you know. She is all this. She's a wonderful world that we share with. And, you know, with shooting stars, the smiling sun, happy moon, singing birds, moving mountains, blue seas, and the whole list goes on. And, you know, take a look around, be grateful for what we have. And, yeah, let's all share in it. So beautiful, right, Sawa? And congratulations on your front page pick. What did you think, Zach?
I thought it was amazing. I thought it was a cool, like, spectrum of nature, really visual from the sun to the stars, each celestial object and terrestrial object kind of flowing smoothly into the next. You kind of, like, sense a narrative there. And I just thought that was such an optimistic end to it with all the beautiful human beings, because sometimes I think there's a lot of evidence to the contrary, but in this case, I really like the optimism here. So I thought that was very well done and a nice front page pick.
Oh, absolutely wonderful comment, Zach. And Weaver, you read it. What did you think?
I thought it was lovely. It's a very bouncy piece of poetry, which I love. I love the movement of it, and the cadence was wonderful. It was easy to read. It was a pleasure to read because it was so well put together. It was just lovely, and all these wonderful things that we should be grateful for and enjoy were there. So I thought, well done, very well done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment and an excellent read. Weaver of Dreams. All right, where are we to next, Weaver?
And next we have Waiting Room Decor by Jack Tomkovic. And Zach, would you give this a read for us, please?
Absolutely. Waiting Room Decor. Stitches coming out today. My sweet Tian, see better. More clearly now, as the song sings, waiting room chairs, brown and lighter brown, carpet brown on darker brown, designer must have, then munching volume, end table with withered plant, also brown, the small waste can in the corner with plastic liner remains stubbornly black, end poem.
Great observational poem. You know, who doesn't find doctor's decor is quite boring and monotonous. I mean, this captures the waiting room of the doctor's office quite wonderfully, and I like his humor in this. The small waste can in the corner with black plastic liner remains stubbornly black. Yeah, wonderful, right? And what did you think, Weaver?
Well, I mean, you know it's going to be depressing for you even walking. And of course you need as much burn as you can to hide some of the more awful stains that might happen in a place like that. Oh dear. It sounds awful, doesn't it? Brown everywhere. I bet the waste can was brown as well. It was black. Okay. A little less monotonous then. But I mean, very well detailed in this. Of course it's Jack. We could expect no less, could we? So well done, Jack. I can see myself sitting there sometime soon, and I'll be thinking of you. So thank you very much for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you so much. And Zach, what did you think?
Oh, man, I just thought I could feel like, I felt like kind of mean reading it a little bit, but I felt like it for a good reason, because like some of those, they're just very well, I mean, some of those doctors' offices are just not a lot of thought put into them in terms of their aesthetic, so they could use a little upgrade for sure. This is clearly representative of those folks, I think, and I think that's like a lot of doctors, unfortunately. That I've seen anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, you know, but anyway, it was just made me think back to a lot of memories that I've had in the waiting room, so I thought that was just a cool connection and a really well-done front-page pick.
Absolutely. Great comment, Zach. All right, Weaver, where are we to next?
And next we have Sam the Cat by Plum Crazy. And Gray, would you read this for us, please?
Sure. Sam the Cat by Plum Crazy. Sam the Cat is hungry for lunch. He looks in the fridge. He gets out bread and cheese to make a sandwich. He thinks that his sandwich is too small, so he looks in the fridge and gets fish, peanut butter, and tomatoes. He still thinks that his sandwich needs more stuff. He puts ice cream, mayo, pickles, and french fries on it. He needs more condiments, so he puts ketchup, relish, mustard, and sauerkraut on it. Now he thinks that it's too big, so he calls his friend up and asks his friend to come to lunch. They say, we'd love to. 10 more cats come to the house, and they eat the whole sandwich. Their bellies are full. They go home to relax. They decide to go to beach to surf, play volleyball, and relax on the beach and make sandcastles on the beach. They all look at each other, and then a 10-cat harmony sing, meow. this was fun. Great, right? What did you think, Wheeler?
That was a wonderful read. Thank you so much. Yeah, well, this is Sam the Cat. He's obviously a very hungry and a very clever cat because he makes his own sandwiches. Very good. He was trained well. But I do like, I mean, I don't like what he's putting in his sandwich. I mean, fish, peanut butter, and tomatoes? No, I don't think so. They can eat out of sore stomach, surely. But I like the idea that he's adding to this and adding to this, and now he's bigger than his stomach, and then he thinks, oh, no, it's too big now. So his friends come along and have lunch with him. That's just, it's a lovely, homely, you know, cats instead of people type poem, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
I loved how just silly this was. Just sillier than Garfield, but like it kind of reminded me of also something from more like Half Baked or Friday, with a little bit of like the Alley Cats from the Aristocats. And I just thought that the whole like dancing together and just kind of pigging out was very reminiscent of some of those movies. And just a kind of a funny poem and really well told and great front page pick.
Absolutely wonderful comment. All right, and yeah, you know, I enjoyed the poem. It had fantastic humor in it, but it turns out that this was written by his 7-year-old granddaughter.
Oh,
and he helped her write the last couple of lines to finish it. So, yeah, that was great. Yeah, so he says, to be truthful, I had encouraged a 7-year-old girl to write her very first poem, and that's what you read. LOL. So glad you took the time to make the comment. Because she'll love it. Love to hear what you wrote. Yeah. That's so sweet. You can just picture this cat lunch going on, eating this huge sandwich that they share, and heading to the beach to surf, relax in the sun, and play volleyball, you know, make sandcastles. So what could be better than that? They all look at each other, and in 10-cat harmony, saying, yeah. Yeah, great, right? All right, Lisa, where are we to next?
And coming up shortly is Kissing Beams by Paul Barot. And Zach, would you give this a read for us, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Kissing Beams. Beneath her red umbrella, she kissed her favorite fella. The sun shined through, so it's like it knew. Its beams just might compel her. And poem.
I like that. Great read, Jack. But, you know, it fits the picture prompt perfectly. The rhyme is musical. You know, it has a wonderful flow to it. Okay, so we're going to hold off on reading Randy G's poem until about, I don't know, the last part of the hour. Okay, Weaver? Just so you know. And Yeah, but no, that was a wonderful poem, excellent title as well. Kissing Beams, you know, that really got me wondering what the heck is she kissing beams for. But beneath her red umbrella, she kissed her favorite fella. The sun shines through. It was like it knew. Its beams might just compel her. That was great. Excellent flow and rhyme. And Zach, what did you think?
I thought it was an excellent rhyme, too. Very much like Little Miss Muppet. And it's just whimsical and wholesome, too. And I really like the nature, too, of it. That really just the rays that shine through, too. Very cool. It was a very well-written piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comments, Zach. And Weaver, what did you think? Unmute, Weaver.
Oh, sorry. Oh, and I was being so witty. I'm too tired now to copy that again, so we'll just have to pretend I said something really witty and that'll be it. Yes, it was lovely. I really enjoyed it. She kissed her favourite fellow, the sunshine, too. I do like verities. I never used to because I found them very difficult. But this is just perfect because you have the whole story and it's a lovely story too. So yes, I think it's very well done. And thank you so much, Paul, for writing that and sharing it with us.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right, where are we to next, Weaver?
And next we have, unless you've already got it up. No, I haven't. So next we have, here we have. Oh, yes, okay. No, that one's okay. Sorry, I was just making sure I was able to put these ones out. And I can, and I'll be there in a moment. And here we have God Paint by Marius Alexandru. And I will read this one. I think it's my turn. I just have to have a little sip of my whiskey, if you don't mind. Oh, that warms the cockles of your heart, by golly. Right. Wonder what the cockles of your heart actually are. It's a very odd saying. Unless I'm saying it wrong. Anyway, never mind. Let's go on. Woman, go on. Marius Alexandru, sorry. God paints. Does he indeed? Okay, God paints. A canvas of beautiful hues, a tapestry of heaven's muse. Petals dance with the breeze, and colours burst like confetti on trees. A symphony of fragrance and delight as God paints this breathtaking sight. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And I clicked on the link in his poem, and it took me to an Instagram page with flowers and just kind of gently blowing the breeze. So, yeah, it was wonderful. You did a beautiful job of reading it, Weaver. But I like the whole poem, you know, like nature is beautiful, and nothing that she does is a mistake, you know. It's definitely a wonderful, right? It really hits you in the heart with its beauty. So, yeah, great chair, Marius. Excellent brevity as well. Congratulations on your front page pick. And Zach, what did you think?
It's like a divine dose of inspiration. I think it's like the feeling that every artist must get when they created something to play God, really. I think that's what they're doing. I think this is what the speaker is doing, rather, is playing God with the canvas. It could also be God in the literal sense, but I think it's also just the artistic sense as well, perhaps. And that's just what I got from it.
Well, nature is an artist. There's no kidding. No doubt there God is, I guess. But yeah, it was a wonderful write and a great comment. Thank you so much, Zach. Weaver, you read it. What did you think?
Very clever. I liked it. I liked the fact that it was directed in the way that the writer wanted it to be directed, which is always good. So you have exactly how the writer, how the poet feels about his life and the beauty around him, which is lovely. It's good that you can open your eyes and see past all the horror and the greyness and the nastiness of life and appreciate the beautiful things, because beautiful things are there to please us. I can't think of any other reason for them to be there. Honestly, they're there to please us. And I like it very much. So thank you, God, for that. And thank you, Marius, for your poetry.
Absolutely, yeah. I guess we are kind of godlike in our poetry. You know, we create it. It's ours. We watch it grow or die. And, yeah, it takes on a life of its own, usually. Excellent comments. Thank you so much, Weaver.
My pleasure.
All right, where are we to next year?
And we are to... I'm about a step behind at the moment. Please bear with me. I discovered that if I talk, I can't work at the same time, which is great. I love it, but not very good for posting. There we are. Motions by S.O. White. And, Zach, could you read this for us, please?
Motion. A brown leaf swirls and dances, caught in an eddy in my breakfast box. I'm pedaling with force against the stalwart winter wind. All seems in motion. A helicopter's thrum above me. The Adelante banners flutter angrily. Under the bridge, the Neckar rowers slice through the icy waters, zooming above them, condescendingly effortless. The seagulls break out in mocking laughter and poem.
Great read, Zach. I like the poem. You know, it has movement. You know, you can feel the dance of the leaf as it swirls, caught in an eddy in his backbeat box. I'm pedaling with force. I had to Google backbeat, and it's a bike with a cargo thing in front of it. So I could see that. And then pedaling with force against the stalwart winter wind. All seems in motion. A helicopter swung above me. The Adelante banners fly angrily under the bridge. Neckar rowers slice through ice and waters. And you can picture all that if you read through it. It was a wonderful write and an excellent read. It was descriptive and imaginative, no doubt. And I really liked the seagulls mocking with laughter. So, excellent, great. Thank you so much. And Weaver, what did you think?
I agree, it was. It's a very laid-back kind of gazing at the world and enjoying it kind of piece of poetry, isn't it? It's not wham-bam, thank you, ma'am. It's more good afternoon, madam. So I really enjoyed it. I loved the way he was talking about talking about peddling with force against the stalwart winter wind. What's he going out in the middle of the winter on a cycle for? Blimey, you should be at home keeping warm, man. But still, it's good for you. Good to get exercise, not just lifting your arm with a glass in it, but getting some exercise. Very good. I appreciate that very much, Mr. Babbitt. So thank you very much for your interesting and clever piece of poetry, and thank you for allowing us to share it.
Absolutely. And Zach, you read it. What did you think?
It was a little bit like a shock to the system. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like room temperature to icy cold, but not in a bad way. I thought that was really cool. Just like the kind of like the motion of it, really, the pedaling and the just kind of against the wind, but like not... It's just exerting energy and until you can't anymore, I guess, and it's effortless in a way. And the seagulls breaking out in mocking laughter, I think that was a great way to end it, because it seems that's what they do. That's what they sound like anyway. I just don't like them. I thought it was really cool.
You don't like seagulls?
No. No way.
Yeah,
no way.
Bastards, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, especially when you're eating your sandwich down by the beach and
totally.
They fly off.
Oh, yeah.
That's always great. All right, we have a caller, everybody. So I'm going to bring them on. Area code 704, who's calling, please?
Hi,
Hello, area code 704.
That's
Hi.
Me.
You're calling, please.
This is a friend of Weaver's. I promise I'll call. I shall remain nameless unless she gives me up.
Okay, mystery caller, and welcome
mm-hmm.
to the show, mystery.
I'm
mystery caller.
Very happy to be here among such good company and so many good points, which, okay, I had to say that. I just now started listening, but I know they were good. They're here.
I thought I bribed you better than that. You were supposed to say how wonderful my reading was. You're failing me.
Your reading was so exceptionally marvelous, just amazing delivery and perfect diction and the Scottish accent is also a plus.
I thought you were going to say my reading was monotonous.
Monotonous?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Never.
Yeah, cause the M was easy. The M for marvelous is rather, it's like the same as the M for monotonous. But thank you very much for your compliment. I don't know what I'm talking about.
One of those mad libs out of that. What is you call those?
What words
that you...
Daft
is my spirit animal.
Yeah. How many legs has a daft got?
Next time I'll be sure to drink at least another beer, okay?
Oh, at least you need to. You can't come on just sober. You're not allowed. Ask Zach, he knows.
Lord.
Zach, is it Harmo?
Yeah.
Harmo Neurotica? Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. I know. Yeah, great guy.
He sure is. Oh, well, lovely to have you here. We're going to get you to work in a moment, so just guard your loins.
It's okay to give my name.
I'm not going to. You're
really
going to be
Jennifer Lopez. It's okay.
I'm not Jennifer Lopez.
No, you're going to stay. Okay. You're going to stay mysterious all the time. Nobody's going to know who you are.
I think people could tell by my down-home Southern accent.
Possibly Fred, possibly. Who knows?
Maintaining that air of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, that's all I got.
Oh, my God. You can see why I love her. Ah, what a girl. Oh, dear. Okay. Let's go on now. Let's be serious. You're taking me out of my job soon for this. I should not be having so much fun. Okay.
And
the pay is absolutely chronic, by the way. Let me tell you that now.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, I'm trying to warm my way into that circle of, very good pay.
Yeah, but you can go very far in 2 pence. Tell you that.
As far as you need to go, really.
Exactly. If one needs to go, one needs to go.
Well, I'm tethered to the charger, so I'm not going anywhere.
That sounds like fun.
it's a bondage, I guess.
I was actually thinking that, but I wasn't going to say it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
My goodness me.
Oh, my goodness. How the complexion changes when mystery guest enters.
Yes, right. We were being so decorous. We were being so good. Okay.
Now,
is that,
straight
is that, do you see what no Frank, did you see what Frank's saying? Is that Jean doing a Southern accent?
No. Is that who?
it's Jennifer Lopez,
for God's sake.
Yes, yeah, she already told you, Frank.
She's talented in accent.
No, he's got bondage. No, there's no bondage here. Only if you decide, Frank. The window's open. Okay. Greg, get us under control, man. Get us under control. Tell me to go on with it. Where the heck were we?
Let's go.
All right. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, we're going to go with this. I don't even know if it's been read already. I don't know. No?
Yeah.
Okay, this is...
Yeah, we've seen it.
Yes, it has. We've seen it. Oh, thank goodness. We've done that one, and we've done that one, and we're doing well. Apart from the fact that I can't find anything, but we're doing well. Motion? Oh, yeah, we'll try this one, and then I can go back and check what I haven't already done. Oh, my goodness me, this is so exciting. Never know what's going to happen next. What a whirlwind.
Lots of chocolates.
We've read that one too, Weaver.
Oh, my goodness.
It's high door number one.
Okay, there's a 12-step program for this, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Not seem they're going to read that one.
Yeah.
But I like buoyant throws. Have we done this one? Buoyant throws. No. No.
No.
All right. I'm looking at the list. No. Who is the poet?
It is S. O. White. No. It's Caroline Eyre. You haven't done this one.
No, we haven't
buoyant
yet.
Throws. Ah, you know. Well, mystery caller, would you care to read this one for us? Are you all set
I
up?
I would.
Oh, cool.
I actually would,
so much.
Would care a lot if I could find it. It's by, who was that again?
It was
Caroline Eyre.
That's it, thank you. Oh, good picture.
Caroline. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, got it. All right, buoyant thrills. Oh, okay, it's a short one. I can handle this.
You know.
Yeah, I do like the photo or the artwork. Buoyant thrills, candy cane stripes in harlequin spin, buoyant in the swishing froth of ice-cold peppermint seas, soothing freeze on outstretched limbs with fiery poppy red heat. Sweet vacation memories. And a point.
Beautiful read, mystery caller. And, yeah, I like the poem. I like the poem. You know, it was short.
I forget about the
feedback.
Oh, I did it again. Sorry. I'm getting the duct tape.
So, yeah. the poem was wonderfully written and really took you through a child memory. You can just picture her having a great old time and just enjoying the beautiful vacation that she's on. So, yeah, it was wonderful, right? Very nice work. And, Weaver, what did you think of the poem?
Hello?
Unmute.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Jeez, getting worse. Okay, I will continue with what I was trilling about. Right, picture is absolutely wonderful. Gives you an idea of how much fun this lovely little girl is having. Candy cane stripes and harlequin spin. That's just another beautiful couple of lines. I do envy people who can put together these wonderful brevities. But I like soothing freeze on outstretched limbs within fiery poppy red heat. Sweet vacation memories. Just lovely. And it all in 30 words. It's wonderful. Well done. Thank you for sharing that with us, Caroline.
Great. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Zach, what did you think?
I thought there was a nice dichotomy between the red and the white, the color palette. I thought that was like a cool, like hot and cold thing, like the poppy red and the ice cold peppermint, just like red and white alternating sort of. I thought that was really cool. It just brought like a vivid sort of dynamic to the poem and just made for a cool memory. Well done.
Great comment, Zach. Thank you. And mystery caller, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, it's a literary musing on the life and times of a candy cane. Rather a delightful journey from the cane's harlequin spin to the ice-cold peppermint seas. The fiery red, poppy red heat which is kind of interesting to me, Poppy. I don't think of Poppy as being fiery. Well, I didn't until now. And so now forever I will recognize the poppy as a fiery plant. And it's relieving its sweet vacation memories. You know, I wrote a poem like that once, but I forgot to lay off the eggnog before composing Candy Cane Sonnets. Just saying. But no, this is sweet, and it was a fun read. And as Kate says, I don't understand how people can put so much in so few words and do it with such skill. And really, I like it. I like Candy Canes. Yeah, all good. Great write.
Great. Great comment, mystery caller. Okay, I'm going to welcome another caller on. I think it is Laurent Montanier, if I'm correct. Hello, Frank.
Oh, yes, it's... Hello, hello there, my friends.
How
Hi, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hello, hello, hello there, Katie. Hello there, my friends.
And did you get a chance to hear the last poem that was read?
Yeah, to hear the poem. I thought it was a wonderful brevity. The movies there, you know, the metaphors they're using, peppermint, something in the candy cane stripes, was something that was very evocative for me. And it's just a very wholesome poem, you know, you would think, you know, but it's a brevity. It would speak so little, but it speaks a lot to memories that I've cherished.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Frank. Okay, Weaver, where are we to next?
And next we have this one. Sorry. Shouldn't keep laughing, but it's fun. Okay, Chin by Neutron Bomb. And I will give this one a read. No one minds. Neutron Bomb. Chinny Chin Chin.
What if we do my
Well, then I will just shut everything down and you'll sit there in the dark.
Well, not just one possibility ever happening. But yeah.
Okay. Oh, Mr. Caller, you're breaking up a little. I'm finding it very difficult to actually understand what you're saying. But I'll get back to you in a moment. Okay?
Which is probably a relief.
Shut up there. Chin up there, Katie.
Chin up there, well done, Frank. Try and keep control, Frank. These people are going mad. Okay. Apart from Zach and Gray and me. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you could do it.
No, I could, yes. Standing on my head, which is what I'm doing now.
Well, all means there.
Thank you. So, sober face, sober person, serious. Chin. Ah, okay. Words escape like the bleat of cheap bludgeoned with sticks and sharpened rock. Harpoons to quench the stomachs of an enclave of warriors, battle-weary from the an encumbered weight of whispers stacked high to protect frostbitten toes. Pelts are fashioned from roadkill and mercury treated to render the hide soft. Sharp tongues escape the savage knife that seeks to cut them from the mouths of sheep. Prey are taught to roam, leaving the stragglers behind to be felled by the wolf who blew that straw shack down. The hairs on my chinny chin chin are thick with icicles as I saw his belly shut. Rocks of manifestation cloaked in gelatinous velvet slow his traverse down rabbit holes and through the sty of pigs. Bricks of clay are forged in a kiln. Solitude affords my craft. The words will come like osmosis through the length of intestine strapped to my drum. Beating ancestral roots into the barren ground with a mallet. Tent pegs hold tarpaulin and pelt across my home till grandma is freed from her flesh and bone prison. End poem.
Great read, Weaver. And I liked it, you know, the take on the chinny chin, I mean, on the three pigs storyline. And it was wonderful. She really captures the essence of the right steeped in metaphor, and their imagery is fantastic. The hairs on my chinny chin chin are thick with icicles as I sew his belly shut. Some bit of vegetation closed in gelatinous velvet slowed its traverse down rabbit holes and through the sty of pigs. Great imagery. And what did you think, Zach?
Yeah, I just thought a lot of these lines are just really primal, like harpoons to quench the stomach. And overall, the vibe just reminded me of The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio. And it was like the Flintstones meets the Three Little Pigs, but a lot more violent. And it had its own kind of private violence and very raw phrasing, too, throughout the entire piece. So I thought that was very cool.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Francisco, what did you think?
Yes, as to be accustomed to her poetry there, you know, Neutron Bomb writes very visceral. She uses a lot of imagery and metaphors to convey. The whole notion there of chin, chin, chin really just touches to me the whole essence of what she's trying to convey here, and in particular there with the hairs on my chin, chin, chin and are thick with icicles. I sew to his belly shut, rocks manifestation. You can go on and go on. Just wonderful lines, you know. It's an embodiment of just, you know, there is an aestheticism to it. It's very vivid, but at the same time, I can see an aesthetic point of view to this poem.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Mystery Caller, what did you think?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the poem started out with the chinny chin chin, and of course we're all back in grade school with the nursery rhymes. A very playful start, and it takes a swerve. It takes on a much more sinister tone. Violent scenes with warriors, a sheep, and a I was interested in the references to crafting, sewing, building the shelter. And there's a strong sense of isolation. The poem is pretty much a dark and rather disturbing allegory. It focuses on themes of forced silence, isolation, and a very desperate search for meaning through what appears to me to be ritual. I think that the poem is deliberately ambiguous, and I think it invites the readers to actually come up with their own interpretation. The grandma part, I'm not really sure where that is, but I think that's, again, deliberate. Does this mean that grandma died, released from, how was it put, skin and bone or something like that? But it's very prettily, it's very prettily written, very lovely wordage. But within that, it has a very sinister theme. And it certainly evokes an emotion, and it's a very, very good write.
Great comment, Mystery Caller. Thank you so much. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem that you read?
I agree that there is something here that is different. There's a certain edge here as well. And I didn't expect, once I started to read, what would happen next, because again the chinny chin chins lulled you into a false sense of security, expecting a little bit of humor, but we don't get that. We get something that has been, as you said, could well be a ritual, especially the sewing up of the stomach and the rocks in there. Now, is that symbolic of what? Is that symbolic, or is that just to make sure whatever it is doesn't float in the water but goes down? I don't know. But whatever it is, it's certainly something that's going to be done. And for whatever reason, we'll find out, hopefully, at some point. And I do love that word, osmosis. It's just so cool. Osmosis. Wonderful. So I think as as Mystery Caller said, this is very well done and very interesting. So thank you for sharing that with us, Neutron Bomb.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. Okay, we're going to bring on one more caller here. If hello, area code 816. Who's calling, please?
This is Randy G.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
Just fine. How is everyone out there in Poetry Land doing this evening?
Wonderful. Thank you, Randy.
Yeah. Totally.
Doing great.
Great.
Hi, thank you.
And, Randy, did you get a chance to hear that last poem that was read?
No, unfortunately, I got it on the very end and I didn't hear it, but sounds like it was a rather heavy write with a lot of interesting details, though, from listening to the people talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, welcome to the show, Randy. And, Weaver, what are we to next?
Okay. Now, Randy, do you have some time or do you want your poetry up to read right now?
Yeah, put it up. I've got 30 minutes or so.
Okay. No problem. Okay, there it is. Okay, this is Aquanaut by Randy. If you'd like to go ahead and read that for us, please.
Okay. I think after that last poem, based on what I heard, this is going to be a stark contrast. So it's Aquanaut. Nancy, a fanatic for all things fish, combines it into every single dish. Mackerel for good lunch, tuna for Sunday brunch, red snapper mixed into her knish. She's a fashion model, very svelte. A custom necklace made of smelt, goldfish studded ring, makes a perfect bling, a coup de grace, a rope fish belt, in poem.
Wow, I liked it. I like the double limit to it, with your matching first two, non-matching, second two, and then your final line matching. So that was great, excellent write. And I thought you captured her quite beautifully. You know, Nancy, a fanatic for all things fish, combines it into every single dish. Mackerel, a good lunch. Tuna for Sunday brunch. Red snapper mixed into her niche. Yeah, great write. Excellent write. Thank you for sharing, Randy. And calling
Thank
to
you.
Read. And absolutely. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, I was very interested.
Oh, congratulations on your front page pick as well.
Sorry. Well, thank you.
That picture is just, what a beautiful face, surrounded by fish. Oh, well, it happens. I thought it was very cleverly written. I do like the mackerel, a good lunch, tuna for Sunday brunch, red snapper mixed into a knish. Well, oh, dear, wonderful. And I just thought, I don't know where people get their ideas, but I mean, that picture must have sparked this off for you. And it was really well done. I like fish too, so perfect. But I don't think I'd want
thank
a
you.
Necklace made of them. But very well
no,
done. Thank
no.
you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was a very lively piece. I enjoyed the fish puns a lot and very clever phrasing throughout. Very visual and very appetizing as well throughout. Well done.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you so much. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, you know, this takes me back to the Mediterranean here with mackerel there. I think he did a fantastic job considering that he only had 55 words. And the inspiration, I've always enjoyed poems that are inspired by a prompt. And I think he did a fantastic job of just conveying, using the prompt in the background there. But he did a fantastic job here with the words that he employed here, and 54 words. Good, great job.
Thank you.
Great comment, Frank. Thank you. And Mystery Caller, what did you think?
Oh gosh, Randy, I'm a great lover of a well-written limerick. And you have a very nice flow and a very funny, cheeky poem. I think that Nancy's devotion to fish is actually truly fantastic. I think she has more fish in her diet than in her wardrobe than a sushi bar after a clown college reunion, which is good. And I hope that her modeling career will stay afloat after all the possible weight gain, maybe. And those goldfish earrings, oh, they must be a real drag. But, hey, if you can rock a rope fish belt with confidence, I'm saying more power to you, Nancy. And, Randy, this was powerful. It touched me. I am the limerick lover of all times. Great job, Randy.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to say anything about your poem, Randy?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things where you see the prompt, the picture, and in this case, it just so happened that it immediately began to flow. So it was a pretty easy write, and I enjoyed it. I like doing limericks whenever I can, and I thought this was a great opportunity to have a little fun. So, yeah, I like doing it.
Well, Randy,
great job, Randy.
But I do love limericks too, and it is so such a creative process. But you said it was easy. You said it just you just knocked it out. Every one of the limericks that I've written are excruciating because you have to follow so many rules. And I just want to say again that you did so quite adequately, and yeah, thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely great having you. Thank you, Randy. All right, Weaver, where are we to next?
Right. I think, I don't know if we've got time for another one before we go to open poetry, so I think we'll probably just go down to open, yeah, I think so, because 3 minutes is not enough. Okay, down we go. Do, 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 do. Put your headlights on. Let's go. There we are.
It's on.
Yay. Oh, SoundCloud here. One moment. Loads of SoundClouds. Good grief, I better get to them soon. Right, here we have open poetry. What did I mean? No. Okay, we'll put Jack's on, and then we'll put Frank's on. Hello, is there anybody out there?
There's, yes, I was going to ask you.
Yes?
Okay.
What were you going to ask me?
No, if you had a poem.
You cut out, Frank.
Oh, if you had a poem, that's all.
Oh, yes, he has. Okay, right, Jack, Tether Death by Harmo Neurotica. Could you give us a read for us, please?
Sure. Tether Death. I lie in my cradle. White light above me makes it hard to see mother's face among the nurses. Praying, please, Mom, take me away. Ferry me to the river, hating this horrible place, with no love, stuck, a deep web with no light, barely any sleep to speak, lightning storms my brain, flooded by nightmares, irrigated, flickering every few months, power shutting down, darkening for years on end, while candles light the path, back bent, searching for breadcrumb, black rose petals, broken man's cane in hand, traveling thousands of miles. Finding my way back to Mom, except she's dead and gone. My compass, my astrolabe, shadows bulk underneath, buckling to my wishes, sneering in approval. Keep me hidden, crawling back inside the womb, covered in unspent placenta. Tie the cord around my neck, turning blue, preparing the tourniquet. We will meet again, praying to take me to my grave, away from their faces, ashes shielded by a solemn stone circle. That is where I intend to be tended, resting all of my days, rotating like the beacon I once was, untended, tethered to my one true love. And poem.
Well.
Cool.
Well, that was definitely kind of dark. I'm just reading your author's notes here. And yeah, definitely dark, and it's kind of haunting, you know. Barely any sleep to speak, lightning storms my brain, flooded by nightmares, irrigated, flickering every few months, power shutting down. And then darkening for years on end while candles light the past, back then searching for breadcrumb, black wooden petals, broken man's cane in hand, traveling thousands of miles. Yeah, it's definitely dark, and you can feel the pain emanating through this right. Praying to take me to my grave away from their faces, ashes yielded by a solemn stone circle. That is where I intend to be tended, resting all of my days, rotating like the beacon I once was, untended, tethered to one true love. I mean, it speaks to a beautiful love for your mother, and fantastic writing, Doc. Definitely engaging, and deep write. What did you think, Weaver?
Yes, this is it's lovely. I just think the very beginning of this, the first stanza, is so sweet. I lie in my cradle, white light above me makes it hard to see mother's face among the nurses. That is some kind of memory to have as a youngster. Start your life, you know, people worrying about you and looking at you. It's very well done. And also we have all the way through this, there are lightning storms in your brain, there's flickering a few months, power shutting down, and things get a bit darker. I think it's just very well done. It's a journey through your life, or the fictitious life perhaps that you're talking about. And it opens up so many things that people don't think about, which, yeah, things need to be spoken about, get them out. So yes, so well done. Thank you very much for that, Jack.
I'm going.
Absolutely. And, sorry, mystery caller, what did you think?
Oh, wow. I'm still dabbing with Kleenex tissues. This has so much deep symbolism that's worth discussing. So how much time do we have tonight? it's powerful and disturbing. But I think that's what Zach was after. There's an exploration of an isolation of loss. And at first, the longing for death, it's desperate, dark, and it comes from a very painfully emotional place. There is a cycle of despair, longing for the comfort of death to reunite with their mother. And this may not be the intent, but this is kind of my take on what I've read. And the symbolism is just astounding. The cradle could represent also a hospital bed. White light, it could symbolize the harsh hospital lighting. It could also be a metaphor for the light you see, that some people see at death. The river can symbolize escape or a way out. Oh gosh, what else? I've highlighted so many things. Untended beacon. I like those two words together. And I think, you know, with the right band, that could be a really good name for a rock band, Untended Deacon. This suggests to me that the speaker's potential was not fully realized. And there, it's disturbing. And I know Harmonia Erotica, I know your style poetry, and I do totally relate with it. It goes straight to the heart, and that is, after all, what poetry is all about. And you struck a chord, and you made me stop being so silly. So that's something right there. So excellent, and thank you for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Mystery Caller. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, the poem, I wouldn't say it's disturbing for me. I think it's very visceral. You know, there is something that's very palpable about the poem. That is the mental anguish that is reflected in this poem here. And I think Zach does a tremendous job, because I've heard his poetry and I've read his poetry. I don't know, I'm not an expert, but what I've read and what I've heard, he always puts a personal morale into it, to something to reflect. You know, it's there. It's a poem there. You just have to grasp it. But there's always a moral to his story. And this in particular narrative was very personal as well. You know, really just epitomizes the anguish that we go through at times when we write poetry, or when we experiment life in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you so much. And Randy, what did you think?
Well, it certainly was a strong and heavy piece. And I felt like right from the beginning, he's expressing a life of torment, and looking back to the cradle where it started in his mind, and his mother being a deep part of his life, a beacon, so to speak. She was always there guiding him, and when she finally died, apparently it took him over the edge. I mean, I think of the line where the stanza, "Keep me hidden, crawling back inside the womb," wanting to return back to his mother and to the safety of the womb. "Covered in unspent placenta, tie the cord around my neck, turning blue, preparing the tourniquet, we will meet again." So he's wanting to, since his mother's dead, he wants to meet her again. So he envisions himself doing that. It's extremely, you know, every stanza is pretty powerful on its own. And he used a lot of colorful ways to describe each line and each stanza. So I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Randy. All right, Weaver, where are we to next? Please and thank you.
Next.
Can I say something a little first about my phone, please?
Oh, sure. Yeah, please. Would you like to say something about your phone, Doug?
Thanks. Thanks for your comments. And I was mainly inspired by, there's Daddy by Sylvia Plath. Those lines, "Find my way back to you." I wanted to hammer down on that especially. I was also inspired by my own life when I saw my mother on the couch dead. I found her all alone that way. And I was inspired by the movie Hereditary, for sure. That one always takes me back. So, yeah, all that, for sure.
Wow. Very tragic. Very loss of that. Yeah, that's horrible to have to find your mother alone like that, dead on the couch. Very sad.
Hard to lose.
But, yeah, you know. I'm sorry?
I said it's very, as someone who's experienced something similar, it's very, very hard to lose your mom, especially if you have a good relationship. And, is something that you know never ever quite get over.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No kidding. All right, so next we have Lucille by Laurent Montaner. If you would go ahead and read that, Frank.
Yes, this is a poem I wrote in 2016. It's called Lucille, and it goes like this. Once upon a time, in the distant kingdom of dreams, resided a fair lady, whom the angels named Lucille. So sprightly was Lucille, she bore such virginal gleams, her decorum was of a high-born lady, stately and so genteel. Radiant with the guise of my buxom and charming maiden, who wanders desolate nights of her simple eternal beauty, must endure this burden, her heavy sorrow laden, with the exalted orchestra silencing the curse of cruelty. Immured in the fate of her stricken spirit forevermore, haunting her soul every day, dancing in an eternal ball, convivial guests flaring, revering a pale countenance I adore, her footsteps blessed by the grace of the saintly seraphim I call. Her opaque shadow follows me as I seek then her slenderness, such a silk dress, and wondrous as a glimmer, shining her gentle tenderness. In the morrow of my sadness, I shall find left a mere tress. I reflect an eerie image of her endearment, with the sable hue imbued, accompanying nights of despair, and the memory of bereavement, to glum by the morning, fade. Darkness of a damp corner there, my angels of death, whose voices deafen you before the marble mausoleum of horror, abating the murmurs of my nocile, finding gasping breath. Is she in the ripples of the marble to utter the precious name of your pain, my I wait to rise, the silhouettes of the pinions of ravens that flutter. I mourn her soul in spirit, damned in this abode of guilt, when her nightly dancing shall not be stayed nor cease, till the malediction I have evicted in her is her lilt, a paean from the dirge of dust of a mortal decease. End of poem. In the poem.
Great, my dear. Are you on mute?
Wow. Yeah. What a fantastic write, you know, very talented. All you, right, you know, it has your heart and soul beaming through this, right? And, I see a comment here. This is a masterpiece, in my humble opinion. You put in the work, and I'm impressed. This is the definition of poetry, Frank. Romantic, elegant, so well written. I shall nominate outstanding work. And yeah, you know, it's a beautiful piece. It's dark, but it's full of love and passion and sadness and tragedy. You know, it's everything that's you can write a stage play to. It was haunting, for sure. But beautifully read as well.
I appreciate
so
that.
Thank you for sharing.
And I did actually, this inspired me to write a short story about this, Lucille.
Yeah. It was fantastic, Frank. And
thank
again,
you
thank you
that.
For sharing.
Weaver,
what did you think?
Yes, as ever, beautifully written. I'm amazed sometimes at just how well you do this. I know you've been writing for a long time. Well, not maybe too long. But I just love the fact that every time you can give us something completely different, with a different slant and a different meaning, and still give it all the portent of your voice and your experience. And I like the glossary. makes me realize just how thick I actually am, which is so interesting.
I wouldn't say that. My dear wouldn't say that. Thick.
No, you wouldn't. Not to my face,
it's
anyway.
Not me to say that.
That was just a joke, actually.
That.
No, that was a joke. I can't actually understand. I just like that for comic effect. That was all. Yeah. Lovely. I'm, for a start, we have "Do not peer into the darkness of a damp corridor of terror for a minute." Now, see, mon under me, I can't even say it. "You shall find, spoken by angels of death, whose voice deafened you before the marble mausoleum of horror, abating the murmurs of my Lucio's final gasping breath." Ah, so melodramatic. I like it. I do love the drama in this. I love the... Something's going on in the background here. Somebody's striking matches or something. Very odd. And it's not me. Oh, yes. I think you've excelled in this one. I think it's just amazing. I do love... I like a dark, as you know. Anything dark, really, I enjoy. And this has got not only darkness, but it's got despair and a spectral bride. I mean, you can't ask for more than that. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Frank.
No, I appreciate that, and I have to thank Poe for this poem here when I wrote it. He inspired me for this piece.
You could tell, yeah, you could tell. Wonderful, wonderful.
Fantastic comment, we were thinking. And Zach, what did you think?
Yeah, I saw Paul a lot in there. I think it reminded me a lot of the Lucille, rather, character reminded me of Annabelle Lee, and also with dashes of the Raven throughout, and as well as the Mask of the Red Death, for sure. I saw the dancing a bit, the Eternal Ball. I thought about that as well. I thought that was just incredible. Like, an incredible anagram of Poe from the beginning to the end, and also a little bit of Macbeth as well. So, yeah, I thought that was really cool,
yeah.
Man. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I thought I'd bring it in for tonight to share some of the sort of poetry I used to write.
Absolutely. Great job. And Mystery Caller, what did you think?
Well, let's see. I'm very impressed that someone got Vincent Price to come in and read that poem, because it killed me to the bone. Great reading, by the way. I can see creepy dead limbs drooping down like claws to extract victims. The gothic imagery of tombs and ravens and mausoleums, like lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. But it creates a very darkly romantic atmosphere. The poem uses evocative and very deep exploration of love, of loss, and the afterlife. The figurative language is stunning. And the haunting is chilling. I'd say a job quite well done. Thank you for sharing this.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Oops, great comment, Mystery Caller. And Randy G., are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, would you like to comment on Frank's poem?
Sure, yeah. I thought it was wonderful. Very well written. Every stanza could stand on its own with power, and it was a haunting piece, but not in a heavy not in a heavy or disturbing way, but a healthy haunting way that that grasped you and drew you in to each line. And I particularly liked the stanza, "Her ghostly eyes reflect an eerie image of her endearment, with the sable hue imbued, accompanying nights of despair, in the hollow chamber of my phantasmagoria of bereavement. Through gloom, I abide the morning, that this is Dave and unfair. That one just particularly stood out to me, but they were all very good, and I enjoyed it very well. It's not only wonderful, right, but also a very well done read. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Les, for those fine words.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all know, but Frank was a stage actor at some point, performing live. So, yeah, he's a good reader. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing, Frank. Much appreciated.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Weaver, where are we to next?
Next we have Chronicle by Mamya. And shall we just use your name now? Dot.
You mean Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah, of course. Jenny from the block. Okay, Jenny from the block. Would you read this one for us, please?
You are talking tonight. Okay, this is... Oh, where am I? The name of the movie again? I'm looking.
It's Mamya.
Mamya. You wrote it. And it's called Kuronika. It's called
Kuronico.
I don't see it. My Mamya.
Yeah.
Poof. Okay, I was a little afraid for a minute. Okay, and it's pronounced
Kuronico.
Say again.
Kuronico.
Kuronico.
Yes.
The void made flesh, a patch of shadow within the night made sentinel against the things that go bump in the company. Okay. Yeah, something about the background noise. Crazy. I'm starting over. Kuronico. The void makes the void. A shadow within shadow.
There's an echo.
Are
you listening to the show?
What now?
Because you can hear it. Echo.
I don't
know why that is. On my computer turned off.
Oh, wow.
All right.
So, get somebody else to read right now, because maybe I can figure out what's going on. This is the first time I've heard
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's listening with their computers.
Weird.
Yeah, they're still
at the same time. If everybody can do it. There we go, try that.
Okay, me? Yeah, that's better.
It sounds like somebody's listening to the show without their mute on.
So that affects everybody.
Yeah. So if everybody can mute and you go ahead and read.
Somebody told you my secret, didn't they? Hey, maybe that's it. Oh, much better. No, it's not. It's still echoing.
So somebody has got a radio on or a computer playing it, and so you're on two lines, and it's a feedback. So has anybody got this on anything else? Two things at once?
No.
Hello.
You want to?
Not me either. I don't think.
Not hopefully.
Right.
Okay,
roll call.
All right, well, let's give it a shot. Well, one more time.
Oh, my.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. All right, Dottie,
okay.
You still with us?
I'll try.
No,
okay,
don't.
I'm going.
Yes. What I'll do is I will go off and then I'll call back in again. If it's still there, we each have to try doing that. So I'll be back in a moment.
And meanwhile,
what? UV.
Okay, I got it. Got it now. All right. Once again, you're on your toes. The void may flood a patch of shadow within shadows. The night may smother against the things that go bump in the night. Watchful eyes guard in silence in a moment of peril. Falls unchanged and a snarl death. All bodies sleep in the shadows lies down. Besides his human companion. End of poem.
Well, you did a great read of that. Under such trying circumstances. And I like it. You know, whenever you describe a cat, a very big flesh, a patch of shadow within shadows. The night made sentient. And all this is about a black
all
cat.
All this is about a black cat.
Which is beautiful. In a moment of peril, claws unsheathed. And the snarl bellows. All while you sleep, then the shadow lies down beside the human. Wonderful way to describe a cat. I thought it was beautiful. And Jack, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was an awesome dream, sort of like turning into a nightmare, sort of. Not an awesome thing, but like obviously, the night made sentient. You imagine things there that everyone imagines, I think, at some point in their lives, in the dark, that is, in the shadows, imaginary things, and not so imaginary things, too. Kind of a scary thought, but I mean, it's nice that the cat is there, too, as like an emotional support. At the end, it seems like to kind of like soothe their human companion. So I thought that was cool. It was well done.
Great comment, thank you. Zach, and we were great with the details.
Oh, yes, I enjoyed this. It was, interesting. Hear your own voice coming back at you. Okay. Speak quickly. This is very, very good. I love the bump in the night, the watchful eyes. All while you sleep, then the shadow lies down beside his human companion. Oh, that's so creepy. Very well done. Thank you so much.
Great comment. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes. I thought the poem itself really was a nice definition there of what a relationship can be between a human and a cat. I really enjoyed the tenderness offered in this poem here. You know, in particular, the mention there of a moment of peril, claws and chef and a snarl of bellows. This is it's a wonderful illustration of what relationships can be between humans and animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And Weaver, what did you think?
I see the comment already.
I thought this was great.
Oh, okay.
Did I already?
No, you haven't gotten it yet.
Oh, I thought you did.
So did I. Okay. It's still going.
Okay. All right. Randy G, what did you think?
I think he's leave. I think he left there. Sorry.
He chose it on the board, so. Hello, Randy. I don't know. And welcome back.
This is all very hard for me to hear my voice come back. Void Made Flesh is a term or a phrase rather that I found rather chilling and quite original. It leads me to wonder what exactly this creature is. The perspective shift quite effectively from the void creature watching to its protective action. And it is it's a great creepy poem with a surprising twist. I wouldn't mind seeing a little more exploration of the creature's emotions because that is the strength of the poem itself. And it's creepy enough, but it can be creepier if you take that. And I don't hear any more feedback. That must be fixed.
Wow. Good.
Yay.
I muted Randy. I don't know. He chose on the board, but he's not responding, so I gave him a mute.
Okay.
And Jack, you're back, are you?
Yeah. I thought it like
yeah.
just might be me, so for some reason, so I just recited it just in case.
Perfect. Well, I think it was Randy G who says it's on hold for a minute and 28, so I'm going to try to bring him back and see what happens. Hello, Randy?
You have the echo.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
So I'm going to put him on. I'll put him on hold, and I guess he'll have to sit and listen on hold. All right, Weaver. Where are we to next?
You could send him a message there, Gray, and ask, yeah.
Okay, next we have Aftershock by Ben Hart.
Well, Weaver.
Yes?
Weaver, I'm sorry, but Titus is back in the room.
Titus.
He was back in the room 9 minutes ago, I don't know.
Yeah,
he has a SoundCloud. I think he's trying
to
hang out
no
and
problem.
Listen to it. But.
I had it earlier on, but I'll go and get it again. He must have heard me saying, Titus, come back. So he did.
Yeah.
Or he thought, I better do something, she'll moan at me. Probably. Okay. I'm sending somebody private messages again. Woman, get it in the right place. Oh, you're up, Titus. It's a little bit indelicate. Oh, man. Okay.
There's
so we have
window there, we.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so you just put up Aftershock again, but Ben Hart.
I know. I just saw that, but bear
okay.
with me. I'll get the way. Get it in a moment. I did it. Okay, now. Sorry, Titus, we'll be there with you. This is par for the course. Don't worry about it. The way it normally goes.
Yeah.
Hey! There we have it. And there's a SoundCloud.
Okay. So this is a Lucio Phase by Titus. And I will play the SoundCloud here.
Hyacinth. Embroiled by chiefly huge gestures on show, contented like weaves on a star-shaped elope, so proud upon high and a boast upon row, a breath full of whispers on one massive slope. These spherical blooms
well, this doesn't match the poem.
Of nature erupt with creation way up and towards in a beautiful dream-shearing dynamic stature, with dignities reaching the summit rewards, protruding with traits.
Does he have more than what all these I think?
Oh, that was creepy.
Is this the grey? Is this the one about Hyacinth?
No, I don't. No.
Because he has two of them here. He's got two poems in there.
Ah,
this one is
okay.
This is the other poem, yeah? He has, which is this one. So I put it. Oh, let me see. If, it's there. Hyacinth. That's. I'm not sure if that's the poem there.
Mm-hmm. Could be. Okay. Gray, are you there, my dear?
Yep, you bet. I've been talking to Frank the whole time. So, all right. Thank you, Frank. Much appreciated. All right. I'm going to restart that SoundCloud.
Okay.
Hyacinth. Embroiled by chiefly huge gestures on show, contented like weaves on a star-shaped elope, so proud upon high and a boast upon row, a breath full of whispers on one massive slope. These spherical blooms are a fistful of nature, erupt with creation where up and towards, in a beautiful dream-shearing dynamic stature, with dignities reaching the summit rewards, protruding with traits that a model may pose, sweet smell of success riding high on a whim, a gathering mass of contentions transpose into something angelic, the heavenly hymn, combined as a crocus with tulip bulb sets and crescent green stubs on an organic stem, protruding like nothing on earth that forgets that beauty came first as a memory to them.
Wonderful read. And I really liked it. You know, what a way to capture a hyacinth, you know, and bring it to life and just give it the love of the amazing beauty that it is, you know. You can smell the fragrance coming off of this poem. Awesome. Awesome job. Great job, Titus. Excellent job. And thank you for sharing. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yes, it was beautifully read. I really enjoyed it. And of course, I'm in not for nature, as you know, so anything to do with flowers, and those are particularly sweet. So it was a very good write, and the sound card was excellent. But that is, imagine being able to plant all that in your garden and be able to see it, wander out and smell the wonderful smells. That's what you need a big garden for, so you can make it really exciting. And this is wonderful. Very well done. Thank you so much for that.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Weaver. And Zach, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was an intelligently designed piece, kind of describing like the natural progression of hyacinths, kind of drifting along with the cadence of like cherry blossoms and dandelions almost. That's what I kind of got image-wise. And I thought it was really uplifting with the music too. And it's just an ecstatic and a very cool landscape. Well done.
Beautiful comment. Thank you so much, Zach. And Mystery Caller, what did you think?
Oh, okay. It's like a little garden of nice words and beautiful flow. The language is quite vivid. Words like embroiled, spherical, dignity, reaching. I find those to be very nice ways to paint a picture, to leave a strong visual impression. And there are some interesting metaphors. I was caught by the term weaves on a star-shaped elope. Also, where is it? Yes, just full of nature in describing flowers. I think the beauty of this poem, the heaviness, the part that captures everybody's admiration, is that it does indeed revere the majesty and the scale of the flowers. And it does so in such a praising way that it's compelling. And I like it. It was quite nicely written. Flow was wonderful. Relatively throughout simple language. It was a stellar poem with a beautiful spirit.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you so much. Excellent comment. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, as always with Titus, he always brings a wonderful illustration of his magical gift. He uses metaphors that are very stunning in his poem. I too enjoy flowers myself, and I really like the reverence that he demonstrates here, displays here with the hyacinth. And it was just a very reverential poem, and he did a fantastic job.
Excellent comment, Frank. Thank you so much. All right, we were where are we to next?
Yeah, I'm going to try and get the sound clouds out now. So we have Nature Arise First to the Dance by Gary Rubin. So could you play that one for us, please?
I certainly can.
There you go.
Nature Arrives First to the Dance by Gary Rubin. Pheromones sail up the coast from the deep south. Southern towns thaw first in New England. Viscous mud sump pumps while freezing rain dances atop footprint puddles. Root tubers penetrate through last year's decayed fronds. Crocuses that press alarm clock's news buttons sleep in. Spring ushers in that slight back-of-the-throat tickle. Long-haul trucker allergens driven by the wind. Vagabond hippies that hitchhike with those pheromones. Winter birds arrive first to our Sadie Hawkins spring dance. A female barred owl sits quietly in pre-dawn dance hall light. Perched on a leaning dead fallen oak limb at the wood's edge, she patiently waits for a male suitor's invitation to dance. My dog and I walk into the woods. Our chance encounter surprises all of us. She flew into the next tree. Her head swiveled 360. Had she been impregnated, the male would have dive-bombed us. Yesterday's peace was disrupted by a red-tailed hawk. Perched on a white pine branch, she frantically squawked. A male swooped in and mounted her, answering her call. Just up the road, a great pond swells with rain. Still 2 acres short of being a lake. Biblical flooding destroyed a swan's nest that withstood numerous past harsh winters. It will no longer cradle greenish, fluffy-feathered newborn cygnets. Those monogamous lovers have moved on. Turtles will one day trudge out of the water, climb the hills to higher ground, and lay eggs in the mud. Today's gunmetal gray skies will clear soon enough. Kids' laughter will return to dried-out playgrounds. Nature doesn't have that luxury to wait for better weather.
What a fantastic read, and I really love the poem. It's so infused with nature and spring and pheromones, you know, like pheromones are on the breeze when it's springtime. Everybody knows that. It's mating time, and that's no less expressed in this poem. But turtles will one day trudge under the water, climb the hills to higher ground to lay eggs in mud. Today's gunmetal gray skies will clear soon enough. Kids' laughter will return to dried-out playgrounds. Nature doesn't have that luxury to wait for better weather. Yeah, a fantastic, intriguing write. Very visceral and engaging. And so, yeah, now I'm following Gary Rubin. Great share. Great, Gary. Thank you so much for that SoundCloud. Well done. And Weaver, what did you think?
It was wonderful. The attention to detail. The story was just painted for you in words. Beautifully done. I liked it. I don't know about Sadie Hawkins' Spring Dance. I'm presuming it's somebody famous. Somebody will tell me, I'm sure, at some point. But I love the fact that the female, I'm presuming it's Barnow, sits quietly in pre-dawn dance hall light, perched on a leaning, dead, fallen oak limb at the wood's edge, so that she's waiting patiently. So I like all that. I like all the fact that all that's brought to our attention in such a way that it's sweet as well as being interesting, which is, you know, you can't fault that. It's wonderful. So thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. And Mystery Caller, a.k.a. Dot, what did you think?
On mute, my dear.
Hello, Dot. Oh, yeah, she was. No, that's Gary.
Oh, hey, I'm back. like a slice of life. It was a day in the life of, I guess, and a well-told tale. I like that it was made relatable by talking about the Bardow, the sump pumps, the hippies, Sadie Hawkins, which, by the way, Weaver, you do know that that is an American thing where the girls get to ask boys out. That was way before that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Sadie Hawkins Day.
Well,
yeah, Sadie Hawkins Day is one day a year.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that? I've never heard of that day, but.
Oh yeah.
I had, but not probably, sure what it was.
Yeah.
Probably in the late 50s, and I know this. Not that I'm that old, but I've read books about this very thing, and yeah, I don't think I've ever been to the Sadie Hawkins, but. Anyway, I know what it is. Hippie hitchhikers, that kind of gives us a place in time. We know that it's probably the 60s. Words are beautiful. Crocuses, owls, turtles. It's a veritable children's book, open wide for us adults. The observation of nature is quite remarkable. Nature in transit, in fact. You know, the details are sensory, contrasting elements. It just is a very engaging read. I love the term biblical flooding because it's not just rain. It is a biblical proportion flooding, which gives it a true merit as a total downpour. There are so many strong verbs. It's painting with words, actually. Freezing rain dances atop footprint puddles. I dare anyone to say you didn't get a total picture in your mind of this happening. And from the artist's point of view, I find this quite a remarkable talent to be able to drag an image out of someone's head using simple words. And I quite like this. It's very, very sweet. And it's definitely one for the books, you know. It's a great poem. Very nice, Gary. Gary Wright. Okay, cricket.
I thought there was a cricket there.
This is like a cricket bat.
Yeah, something like that. It's almost my bedtime there. Katie, I have to cheer up a bit.
Oh, very good. Well, I'm beating you by about, that's 5-5 here. Oh,
yes,
blimey,
yes.
The 2 hours have gone so quickly. Okay, let's see. Have we lost our boy? Gray, are you there, my dear? I must have dropped. Okay.
Yeah, I was asking Zach to comment. Thank you.
Okay.
There you go.
I seem to remember the Sadie Hawkins dance cropping up a lot in Stephen King books. That's kind of where I got it from. Just an interesting, like, sort of sterling start. Like, sensual, too. I wasn't expecting the pheromones to kind of, like, develop into this kind of story about, like, the Sadie Hawkins dance. I really appreciated first the array of, like, orienting details you chose for the setting. Like, all the crops that were just kind of rooted in the earth, kind of bringing, like, a grounded feel to the poem. In the first and second stanza, and it's further exemplified with the dance taken over by the various kinds of pulsing rain. I thought that was very cool, just all the kinds of rain and kind of like the birds just taking over and like different kinds of birds and just doing like all sorts of things within this landscape. It just reminded me of a Ted Hughes poem, so I thought that was really cool.
Excellent comment, Zach. Thank you so much. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I'll be brief because I know we're running out of time. I thought overall the piece just really demonstrated the core of nature, of human nature, and how much we connect with it. You know, he talks about his dog in particular, one which I can identify with because I do my daily walking with mine. It's just overall piece. It's just very, very demonstrative of his insight into his life and with Mother Nature as well. And I learned what Sadie Hawkins means now. So that's a new word there for me.
Yeah, me too.
Great comment. Thank you, Brian. All right, we what's next?
And next, coming up next is something that I thought I had and don't have. Okay. One moment, please. Yeah, we had that one.
Speaking of dogs, my dog is looking at me with longing eyes because it's a bedtime walk.
Oh,
almost 80. You got 5 minutes to wait. Seven minutes. You got to wait.
You're on the Eastern Coast, huh? You're about an hour. I believe you're an hour. You're on 12 o'clock a.m. almost. No, there, Gray.
No, I'm on the West Coast, so I'm at 9 o'clock.
Oh. Well, I always thought you were on the east. I didn't realize you were over the west coast. I thought you were the east coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're on different
time
zones. All right.
So we have 18 petals. But yeah, I'd say.
Okay, and it's got a sound.
18 petals by Cedar Chapman.
18 petals by Cedar Chapman. I caught you with the palm of my hands, like a tiny seedling falling from heaven. I was lost then, with only a glimmer of light to shine on you, and weak teardrops to irrigate. Day by day, you grew, standing tall to rainy storms, bending to the wind, never breaking. Each year, allowing only a single delicate petal to fall back to the soil. from your strong roots. You grew legs and walked the earth to climb the highest mountaintop and touch the stars just so you could have the biggest yellow sunshine on your face. 18 petals have fallen. I've kept them all, knowing it has always been you who nurtured me and carried us to this brighter place.
Well, what a beautiful thing to write to his daughter. That's just amazing. I wish I had written this for my daughter, but honestly, it's just got so much love. And, you know, I caught you in the palm of my hands, a tiny seedling falling from heaven. I was lost then with only a glimmer of light to shine on you and wear weak teardrops to irrigate. Wow, just an epic father to daughter letter. So beautiful, Cedar. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, I think we have somebody here who's very, very strong. I think that's lovely. Caught you in the palm of my hand like a tiny seedling falling from heaven. I think it's just so beautifully written, such gentleness and love, obviously. And so this is to his daughter, is it? Looks like it's to his daughter.
Yeah,
it's cool. Yeah. So 18 petals, obviously her age. I get that now. That's lovely. Should pay attention. I'm so sorry, Steve. I was enjoying your voice. So I think it's lovely and very well done. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Weaver. And Dot, what did you think?
It was so sweet. Father's poem to his daughter, and I loved how the metaphor of a plant stood as a representation of the child's growing. It starts with the nurturing of the baby, a child, which is expressed as a seedling, but by the end the perspective starts to shift and it reveals it's the child who is in turn nurtured the parents and thus taking them to this brighter place. It's a total beautiful tribute of a father to his 18-year-old daughter, and she must be something really special. I totally love this poem. It is very sweet without being saccharine. It hits right to the point, and it's totally filled with love. And that's it.
Great comment. Thank you. And Zach, what did you think?
Very delicate piece. Just nurturing from like a seed to a tree. A lifetime kind of love that is deep. It's a deep bond. Such a supportive force. Has spine and a backbone to hold that daughter up, really. It's just really well done. Throughout her life, I just like that piece a lot. It's awesome.
Great comment. Thank you so much, Zach. Frank, what did you think?
It's a very reverential piece here, sentimental and very sweet. All together, it was just beautiful, beautiful, right? Beautiful, beautiful tribute.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's it for tonight. I appreciate everybody for calling in, sharing your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, poets, and hope you have a great night. Good night, Ed.
Take care. Good night, everyone. Take care.
Good night, Doug.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Good night.
Lots of fun.
Good night, Weaver.
Good night.
Take care,
good night, Dot.
Thank you, Frank. Good night to you.
Good night, Frank.
Dot. Good night, Zach.
Good night, Bailey.
Good night, everybody.
I'm losing my mind at this late hour. I'm sorry.
Good night, John.
Much love, everybody.
Bye, Bear.
Good night. Yeah.